We're beginning with the first kina, which stresses the verse in Eicha. Actually, the verse is the beginning of a chapter and the end. Zichor Hashem mehayalanu. The concluding chapter of Eicha says, Hashem, remember what happened to us. Okay, this is the opening verse in the fifth paragraph. Oy, whoa. Look at our shame. And the whole kina is going to go, one line ends with oy, and the second line ends with oy me'ayalanu. Whoa, what has befallen us? So we are like orphans without a father, like orphans, right? And so our mothers weep in the month of Av. Whoa, what's happened to us? We pay money in order to drink water. And the point of this kina is to show the correlation, how the punishment fit the crime, how the punishments were really in line with our behavior. We had to pay money to drink our own water because we scoffed at libating water in honor of Hashem. We found ourselves oppressed by the enemy because we were quick to oppress other Jews for no good reason. There was sinat chinam. We extended our hands to Egypt. They should be our friends. And so Hashem sent us a hunter, the Assyrians, to hunt us down. What were we doing making peace treaties with other nations? Hashem says, you want a connection with other nations? I'll give you a connection with other nations. Why is it that we had a nation of slaves come and take us down? That's because we scoffed at our own slaves and wouldn't set them free. Why is it that we found ourselves so hungry that to the point of death? Because we withheld food from the poor. There were poor people hungry around us, and we ignored them. We found ourselves, our skins were darkened like in an oven because we were scorched in the sun as we were led naked to exile. That's because we derided our own honor, where instead of honoring Hashem, we mass-produced idols. It says all over the world, people were worshiping the Israeli, made in Israel idol. All over the world, we had mass production of idols in Israel. Everywhere you went, you'd see an idol and had a little sign on, like, made in China, made in Israel. We were the mass producers of idols. Women were raped in Zion because people would exchange their wives. People would seduce one another's wives. People would willfully exchange. So there was tremendous immoral activity. The leaders were taken into captivity, hanging by their hands. This was a form of Assyrian torture. And that's because the leaders knew, and they were part of the plots behind the scenes to grab money from the poor. The young men were forced to bear a millstone and grind flour. And our sages always saw grinding flour as correlated with the act of intimacy. Pounding the flour corresponding to a different action that's a similar movement. And so our sages said this goes hand in hand because the men would be found in the houses of women of ill repute. That's why they were ultimately taken to do a different form of pounding, to pound down other people's flour. We stopped having elders to lead us because the elders took advantage of their position as leaders, and they destroyed the justice system as they oppressed the orphans and the widows. We stopped having joy because when Hashem gave us reasons to have joy, to go up to the temple and celebrate, we ignored it. We didn't go up to celebrate. Yes?
Is there a correlation between what you're saying about the flower and how that has a relation with Shmuel Best, paragraph 13, how it talks about why the poor unknown takes advantage of Tamar?
I'm unaware of it. No, I'm unaware of the correlation. I understand the story you're talking about. Our sages say, for example, when Samson was taken to pound the millstone, so our sages say that's a euphemism. Really, every Philistine brought his wife to Samson to sleep with. We have a special kina that we say this year, where this year that Tisha B'Av falls out on Saturday night, Motzei Shabbat, and it's the second kina we say that night. How has it come that the children are saying lamentations instead of singing songs. And instead of saying tonight, Vihi Noam, on the night of Motzei Shabbos, ordinarily we say, may Hashem's pleasantness lead us throughout the week. We always try to start the week with a pleasant tone, right? So we start right after Arvit, we start, Vihi Noam Hashem Aleinu. May Hashem's pleasantness be upon us. What's the concept? Shabbos was pleasant. We were connected to Hashem. We didn't do anything, right? We rested and connected to Hashem. Now we're leaving Shabbos. We're going into the work week. So we say, Hashem, can that pleasantness of connection with you accompany us throughout the week? That pleasantness as we actually do the active part of the week. But now that pleasantness is not here tonight, because tonight is a night of sorrow. Whoa! There was a decree of Hashem's anger and wrath burning like a fire, and now we don't have pleasantness on Matzei Shabbos, again, corresponding maybe to the fire that we ordinarily light on Matzei Shabbos. Woe that our homes were taken by strangers, that virgins were ravished, that our faces were distorted. When a person dies of hunger, so their face turns black. So he says, faces were changed. Yeah, it's fitting that tonight we can't sing about what a pleasant night it should be. Woe that we were plundered by the enemies, and the corpses were falling all around. Precious children that were protected like the pupil of the eye. So this is one recurring theme, the precious children that were protected like the pupil of the eye. Our sages say there was a child called Doeg ben Yosef, whose mother would measure him every year. And as he grew, every measurement, every time he grew another inch, she'd measure that length of gold and bring it up to the temple. So he was cherished down to the inch, you know, every little minuscule growth. Let me thank Hashem, let me bring. That's how cherished he was. And when the famine hit and the destruction of the second temple, she was so hungry, she ate him alive. So sages say that was Doeg ben Yosef. Now the Talmud in Tractate Yuma quotes this to illustrate a concept. The Talmud says they gave him an evil name. Doeg, historically, was one of the people who do not merit the world to come. He's the one who said Lashon Hara about King David and caused Saul to murder a city of Kohanim. He caused Saul to hate David. He caused that enmity between Saul and David, and he attempted to do it more than one time. From the first time he could, he said words to implant enmity between David and between Shaul and David. So our sages say, you have a name that everyone knows represents a wicked person. And they name their child Doeg. And our sages say that has an impact. So you don't name a child a name that's only known to be a wicked person. That there's a discussion in Tosfos, there's an Amora called Avshalom. So Tosfos says, how could you have named someone Avshalom? Avshalom raped his father's concubines. Avshalom tried to kill David the Melech. Tosfos says maybe it should be Avishalom. Rabbi Yishmael did tshuva. And then Yishmael died a pious person. But Avshalom died in his sin. David HaMelech. So that's one answer, that David HaMelech helped him come back. But another answer is that the name should be read Avishalom. That's not Avshalom. Okay, this is relevant to guys here when you do Giyur. So we had a student here who wanted to call himself Avshalom when he did Giyur. So I recommended that he call himself Avishalom, not Avshalom, because it's two opinions in Tosfos, whether it's proper to use the name Avshalom. But at any rate, so this is a recurring theme. Those children that were cherished, they were the protected like the pupil of the eye. Those cherished children, and the example of that is Doeg ben Yosef, how cherished he was and what was his end.
Does Doeg mean worry? Or
yes. Okay, I'm moving forward. The next kina is the stress is Bilel Zeh, this night. How many troubles we've had this night, and the idea that both temples were destroyed in this night, and that on this night it's as though all of the heavens have darkened. Five decrees started with the Jewish people having a lack of appreciation for the land of Israel. Hashem gives us this great gift. That's where our troubles started. So that's the stress of the third kina. The fourth kina focuses on two destructions. We said that the destruction of the first temple was worse than the Holocaust. You had 10 million Jews that were killed and lost. And so the destruction was divided into two destructions. The destruction of the northern 10 tribes, their capital was called Shomron, Samaria, after the pagan god Shemer. That's why they called the city Shomron, named after a pagan god Shemer. So they believed he was master of that mountain, Shomron. So the northern 10 tribes were exiled, and they were banished. And then the southern 10 the southern two tribes, Judea and Benjamin, with the Kohanim and the Levium, their destruction came later. The Navi in Yechezkel speaks about two women, Ohola and Oholiva. Two women, and the two women represent these two, the division of the Jewish people. Ohola is a conjunction of two words. Ohel, la. She has her own tent of worship. That's the northern 10 tribes that developed their own idols. They had their own tent of worship. Oholiva is a conjunction of three words. Ohel, li, ba. I have my tent in her. Who is that? That's Judea. Hashem's tent is within Judea. Right? So it's a metaphor. Yechezkel speaks of two women. That's his prophetic vision. It's a metaphor for these the two components of Israel. The northern 10 tribes have Ohala. They are compared to the woman who has her own tent. They have their own God. And then the southern tribes, Judea, is Oholivma. My tent is in her. Hashem says my tent is in her. So the fourth kina is a conversation between these two women, representing the two people. Each one is saying, look at how I've suffered. So Samaria yells out and says, my sins have caught up to me. My children have been exiled to another land. And Oholiva, Judea, calls back and says, my castle's been burnt. Zion says, God's left me. Samaria returns to Judea and says, you haven't suffered like me. How could you compare your illness to mine? I was so rebellious that all my lies and rebelliousness came back to haunt me. And when my time was up, I was demolished and exiled to a faraway land. Quiet, Samaria, Oliva. What's your weeping like mine? You had so much more time of peace in Israel than I did. And Oliva cries out and says, my castles have been burned. God has left me. And Oliva turns back to Samaria, to Ohola, and says to her, I deviated just like you. I also rebelled against Hashem. You be quiet, because I do remember how much I suffered. You were exiled only once, but my exile never ended. I was taken by the Chaldeans. I descended into Babylon. My temple was destroyed. After 70 years, I was brought back. And then I set up a new temple, and this time it didn't last either. And again, the Edomites brought me to near annihilation, and I've been exiled throughout all the lands. And Oliva yells out and says, my temple's been burnt. God has left me. So that's the lamentation, the kina. And then we conclude and say, you, Hashem, have mercy on the poor. Have mercy over their poverty. Look at their destruction and how long they've been in exile. Don't be so upset at them. Look at how they've been humbled and degraded. Don't maintain their sin and foolishness forever. Cure them. Have compassion over them. You are their strength. You are their hope. Rejuvenate our life. Give us a renaissance. And that's the conclusion of the fourth kina. The fifth kina that we say at night says, how long will Zion be weeping? Hashem, we wait for your compassion. And what the kina really focuses on is on the different constellations, the zodiac, and describes how each one of the zodiac joins in the weeping of the destruction of the temple. And that's the conclusion of the kinos of the night. Okay, so with that, we've quickly gone over the kinos of the night. We daven the morning prayer as usual. We do not put on talis and tefillin in the morning. We have a Torah reading. And after we read from the Torah, we put back the Sefer Torah, and we have Haftarah, a Sofa Sifim, read in the tune of Eicha from Jeremiah. The prophecy speaks about how there's destruction, and they keep hoping for salvation, and it's not coming. Destruction is coming. The concluding verse of the prophecy is very famous, very important verse. So says Hashem, the wise man should lord himself with the wisdom, the strong man with his strength, the rich man with his wealth. With this a person should lord himself, with knowing me. I do kindness, justice, righteousness. That's what I want in the world. And that's the concluding line of the prophecy of the Haftarah of Tisha B'Av. And after we put back the Sefer Torah, we again sit down on the floor. Right? On Tisha B'Av, we don't sit down on chairs. And we start the kinos of the day. Before we go on to the kinos of the day, I want us to quickly discuss the halachos of Tisha B'Av for a minute.